Welcome. How you guys doing? Great to be with you. Just want to say hello right now to all of our campuses. Thanks for being a part of our services. Those watching online, thank you for joining us. And how about those Texans? Let's go. Exactly. Finally, right? I'm so fired up. How'd the Cowboys do? I was going to ask. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, right. Yeah, y'all aren't in the playoffs. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. I just had to throw that out. So I feel like there's, you know, dissension in the body right now. I don't know. I feel like there's disunity right now. So you'd better pray the Texans lose soon because I will become unbearable. Unbearable. That's my plan. Just want you to know right now. So glad you guys are with us. Thanks for joining us in this brand new series called You in 5 Years. If you're a little confused on the title, you may think, well, what does it actually mean? You know, like, what does it mean in 5 years? Why 5 years? Well, there's bamboo farmers know this. Bamboo farmers plant bamboo, and the first year they cultivate the soil and put in the seed and water it and wait. And then year one, nothing seems to be happening. Year two, nothing seems to be happening. Year three, again, 3 years in, still, you know, cultivating this, planting it, nothing seems to be going on. But underneath the soil, things are going on. You just can't see it yet. And year four, again, nothing's happening. But year five years in to watching and taking care of what you have planted, within a 6 week window, the bamboo shoots up 90 feet. It's incredible. And people tend to think, oh, well, just like people's lives, wow, that's an overnight success. But an overnight success still takes about 5 years. You tell me the area you want to change in your life, and if you will put in the time and the energy and the focus, in 5 years, you can be a completely different person. In 5 years, you can have a completely different financial outlook. In 5 years, you can feel close to God and know Him and walk with Him. And in 5 years, your marriage can be transformed. Your kids can be transformed. You tell me the area of your life that you'd like to see some change, and God says, just give me a quick 5 years. You can transform your life. In fact, I really believe you begin to apply the principles we're talking about today. Within 5 months, you'll see drastic change. And so, but I just want to challenge you to begin to take the long haul look, to take the longer look and the long view and say, okay, I know that you can do great things in my life, God, if I'll simply apply the right principles over the long haul. So that's really what this whole series is all about. I'm excited today to talk to you about the first step in this. And so today's message is called You Are in Process. And so look at the scripture. It says this. It says in Colossians 1, live a life worthy of the Lord, please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So bearing fruit means that God doesn't want you just to be faithful. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be results. So we have to ask the question, where in my life am I not bearing fruit? And could it be that I've not put the right seed in the ground in that area of my life? And so God wants to do some great things through us, but He wants us to cultivate the areas we need to cultivate. So let me give you a statement here and two verses for it. The statement is this. You may want to write this down. You are not perfect, but you're being perfected. Did you catch that? You're not perfect, but you're being perfected. It says in Hebrews 12, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. You know, perseverance means this is not a sprint. This is a long run. I got good news for you if you've fallen down lately. If you fall in a sprint, the race is done. If you fall in a marathon, just get up and keep running. So God wants you to know you're running a marathon. So if you make a mistake, just get up and get going again. This is what God's forgiveness is all about. Get moving again. God is not through with you. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So turn to the person next to you right now and say, I'm not perfect. I'm being perfected. Let them know right now. Just tell them right now. Not perfect. And then say this to them. Say, be patient with me. I'm in process. Would you do that? Be patient with me. I am in process. Now, there is a process to transformation. There are steps to take if you want your life to change. So you tell me where you want to change. That's That's between you and the Lord, right? God will show you, but there's a process to change. There's a three-step process we want to unpack today on how you can transform any area of your life. And so the first step is this. Would you write this down? Make a clear decision of who you want to become. This is very important because we tend to focus on what we want to have, what we want to do. God says, it's not about what you want to have, what you want to do, it's who you need to become. Because you may say, I just really want to have a great, godly boyfriend or girlfriend. And God's like, yeah, that's very doable. But if you focus on what you can have and you don't become a godly boyfriend or girlfriend, then that godly person will enter your life and not be interested. You have to become that. Well, if I just wish I could have a great job. Well, if you had a great job that pays well, people tend to think, oh, I just want a job that really pays a lot of money, great benefits, corner office, the whole nine yards. Oh, that sounds amazing. But if you don't become the person who deserves that role, you will lose that job. So becoming is more important than having. Because if God just gives it to you, I mean, let me just ask you, you ever seen a kid who just, whatever they asked for, their parents gave it to them? How'd that work out? I just want to encourage you, that's really not the answer. When I was in high school, there's a kid in my high school that was given a Corvette. Brand new Corvette. His parents were very, very wealthy. And guess what? Within months, he wrecked it. You know, he didn't treat it well. He was drinking and driving. I mean, it was a mess. Because when we are given what we want without becoming the right person to handle it, it doesn't go well. So instead of focusing on what you want, focus on who you can become. Does that make sense? So I want to challenge you to think differently. It says in Jeremiah 33. Now, this is very important because we could become a lot of different things. So what is it we're to become? It says in Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and let you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God will tell you who you really are. The problem is we're so busy saying, God, I want to become like them. And God's like, I'm not trying to turn you into a disciple of your favorite Instagram influencer. I'm not trying to have you become them. In fact, the truth is, if you examine their life, they're actually not them either. They're putting up a front. But instead, become who God called you to be. And so this takes time. Psalms 143 says this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. A firm footing means you're not trying to copy someone else. It means you're trying to become who you are, who God called you to be, and to do what God called you to do. So number one, make a clear decision on who you want to become. And I can't skip past this. I have to stop and park on this for just a moment, guys, because we live in a world that likes to copy everybody. I want to challenge you that God has made you unique. You're like no one else. If you don't believe me, look at your thumbprint. No one else has your thumbprint. It's unique to who you are. No one has your fingerprint. There's a reason why our newest products, you know, involve a fingerprint, because they know that's you. There's no one else who has that. And so you're unique, so quit trying to be a copy of someone else. Say, God, who have you called me to become? What do you want me to do with my life? Why did you put me on this earth? You have a purpose. God has designed you for very specific things. You've already been built with certain capacities and abilities that happen to match who God wants you to become. This is why it's important that you don't try to mimic someone else. You can learn from other people, but be who God called you to be. Just want to challenge you with this simple notion. Make a clear decision of who you want to become. And then this next principle may surprise you a bit. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. He's talking to people in Corinth. He says, in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Then he shifts analogies, and he says, I'm not just shadow boxing. Well, why would he shift, right? He says this, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it, that's two times you use the word training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Interesting, the word preaching there, the original language of that word, means heralding runners to the race. See, my job is to get you lined up in your race. Is that you have a race you're supposed to run, and I want to tell you, when you run your race, stay in your lane. Don't veer to someone else's lane. You got to stay in your lane and run your race. And if you will do that, God will do great things for you. But it's my job to herald you to get to say, hey, everyone come over here, get lined up, let's go. And get the gun and get ready to fire it off, boom, and then you run your race. Don't run someone else's race. You won't be very good at running their path. You got to run your path, right? But this is very important. He uses the word training twice. Now, I don't know that much about training, clearly, but I have done some research. And I will tell you that training is different based upon what your goals are. If you said to me from a physical sense, I want to lose a lot of weight, I would be like, well, some trainer's going to tell you you need to eat certain foods and not eat certain foods, and then you need to do a lot of cardio, right? Or you may say, that's not my goal. I want to bulk up with muscle. So then a trainer would say, okay, not so much cardio then. That can take away some of that. And bulk up with protein and then do heavy weights, right? In other words, the training is based upon the goal. So, for example, the training in the Olympics, and by the way, the reason why Paul's using this illustration in Corinth is Corinth had the biennial games. So he probably was talking and saying, consider running when you run. He probably pointed up and saw a group of people running, like them right there running. They're all running in a herd of people, right? They're training together. Or maybe he pointed over and said, like this shadow boxer over here, like someone who's boxing. So they had physical examples around them. People were like, oh, yeah, okay, we're with you. So a boxer is going to train differently than a grappler. A grappler is someone who wrestles on the ground. That's very different training, right? A runner is going to train differently than someone who's a boxer. And then a long-distance runner is going to train even different from a short sprint runner, right? So your training is completely based upon what your goal is. And so, but this is important. Have you ever met someone, using this physical illustration a little further, you ever met someone who totally transformed their body? I mean, like completely. I mean, like the whole before after picture where you're like, wow, look at that person. They were like really overweight, out of shape, looked terrible. And now look at them, man. Their skin is supple. They're in great shape. They're ripped, whatever word you want to use, like, or they've lost 50 pounds. You ever met someone that you know they hadn't seen in a while and they all of a sudden look great? What do you say? You go, wow, you look great. And then what's the next question? You say, what are you doing? What are you saying? You're saying, what system did you choose to transform your body? Now, I'll let you know something. Everyone tries to change. But the people who successfully change versus those who don't have a system. And I'm not here to choose your system for you. I'm just telling you they have a system. And so, for example, someone, when you say, what are you doing? They may say, I joined a CrossFit gym. That's one system. I began to go on the keto diet, another system. I went on a Mediterranean diet. I just started running every single day, another system. So there's lots of ways to do it, but they have a system. And so I want to challenge you with this. Number two, to create or adopt a system based upon your goals. And this is really important. Systems, you don't have to create your own system. I think this is a big mistake. People think, oh, I have to create it myself. You know, well, let me just ask you, would you be more successful opening your own hamburger joint, you know, called, you know, Bob's Burgers or whatever, or Bill's Burger, whatever. You open that, that's great. Or what if you saved up a little money, took a little more time, got some training, and you bought into a McDonald's franchise? Which one's going to be more successful? Probably. Like just general statistics, right? You would say, well, the McDonald's, why? And you may not even like McDonald's burgers, but at least they're consistent. Wherever you go, you know what it's going to taste like. It's the same everywhere. You're like, it's bad everywhere. I know maybe some of you feel that way, but maybe you don't. Maybe you like McDonald's. I'm not here to choose that. Maybe it's Whataburger for you, whatever it is for you. The point I'm trying to say is that why do people buy into franchises? Why would you spend this kind of money to buy into a franchise? Let me tell you why. It's a proven what? System. That's why people buy it. It's because it's consistent. It's provable. People have succeeded over and over again with that system other places, so which means you have a very high likelihood if you do what you're told and follow the system, you'll get the same results. So I just want to challenge you to think differently. This is really training versus trying. Let me give you a couple of simple concepts here. To try is an attempt to do the right thing by exerting effort in the moment. To train is a commitment to strategic habits you do before the moment that prepares and empowers you to do the right thing in the moment. If you catch that, here's another way of saying it. Training is doing today what I can do today to enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today. If I said to you, hey, today at 3:00, we're going to gather here at the church, and we're all going to run a marathon. Show up. How many of you would be like, I'm probably not coming. That would probably not go well. Some of you could try, and you'd get a mile or two in and be like, yeah, that's all I got. And then there'd be a few people who, without even training, would just force themselves, push themselves to get through 26 miles, and it would not be pretty, and it'd be brutal, and you'd be throwing up, and you'd feel terrible, and you wouldn't be able to walk for a week, but you may be able to get through it, right? But most of us couldn't even get there, right? But if I told you in a year we're going to run a marathon, almost everyone, old and young, with the proper training, unless there's some pre-existing conditions we don't know about, right, could probably train to do it. In fact, experts even tell us that if you can run about 12 miles consistently, then once you hit that mile marker, apparently, I've been told, then you can run 26. But okay, that's kind of doable. I mean, not today, but over the next year. So the point is, you can do more with training than you can do with trying. Maybe for you, it's not physical. Maybe it's mental health. Maybe you say, you know, I'm really not in a good place mentally. Well, let me ask you, are you doing the things that good people mentally do? Because if you do their system, you'll get their results. For example, let me just tell you a couple that every doctor and counselor would say. They'll say, number one, make a gratitude list. And remind yourself of all the good things in your life. This is a huge thing. They'll also tell you, get out of screens and get outside. They say, turn off your screens and go outside. Whether it's a walk or whether it's some kind of activity outside, whatever it is you want to do, just get outside. And then any good counselor would tell you, find a hobby or something you like to do that brings you joy and go do it. So these are just the habits, the system, if you will, of good mental health. So I just want to challenge you. Maybe for you it's mental health, maybe it's spiritual health, you know? It's real simple. How do I get healthy spiritually? Well, you attend church more than once every 6 weeks. You show up consistently, right? And then what? You start to serve others, and then you get in a group, and then you become someone who's contributing to society, not just simply taking, but now you're giving, and then you begin to bring other people into your church with you, and you get them involved. What am I describing? I'm going to describe what we call the you. It's a system to grow spiritually. But you know what always gets me is people go, people tell me this, oh, I'm leaving the church. And I say, why? Well, you know what? You just didn't have what I needed. Well, describe what you need. Well, I just was looking for more depth. I just wasn't deep enough. And I always stop and say, you have any idea how hard I have to study to be this shallow? I mean, I study a lot. You have no idea. You know. But then they begin to say, I'm just not that spirit. You know, you're just not that spiritual here, and I want to go. And then I'll say to them, well, so did you go to Next Steps? No. Did you go to our Finding Your Purpose class? Oh, no, I didn't do that either. So did you get involved in Life? Well, no, I didn't. Okay, so you didn't do any of the things that make you go deeper in Christ, and you're leaving us saying that we're not deep. You see the problem here? We have all of that. But I understand the problem. I went to the local gym, too, and I was like, you guys did not work for me. I came twice this year, and it didn't do anything. Do you see the problem here? I mean, there is a way to do this, but you're not accessing the resource you have. So I want to challenge you, could it be that the issue is not that we don't know how, we're just not doing it? Well, Pastor, I mean, that's great, but I just want a miracle. God doesn't give you miracles to make up for your laziness. He won't do it. He won't. I mean, I prayed for miracles for years when I was in school. God, just help me pass this test, please. And God's like, it'd probably really help if you also studied. You know, like, oh, yeah, that. Yeah, that probably would help too. God only adds his super to your natural. So when we put in the work, then God blesses. Oh, God, bless my investments. God's like, I'd love to bless your mutual fund. Would you open one? God, would you please bless my real estate? God's like, well, you need to buy a house for me to do that. In other words, like, we have to give God something to bless. Does that make sense? So, oh, God, bless my marriage. God's like, do something different in your marriage. You know, oh, God, bless my ability to love my spouse. Well, what does love look like for your spouse? What do they want you to do? Do those things, serve them, you know, meet their needs, whatever the case may be, and then God can bless that. But we keep saying, oh, God, just, no, I don't want you to, I don't want to do all that. Just do it, God. Doesn't work like that. God says, hey, you want to change? Here's how you do it. You get to make a decision of who you want to become. And then what? Number two, create a system based upon your goals. And number three, and this is important, focus on small steps. Focus on small steps in the right direction over a long period of time. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And Galatians 6 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, not in due day two, not in due day three, due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Focus on small steps in the right direction over a long period of time. You ever had a drip in your faucet? You know what I'm talking about? You ever like maybe a drip in the bathtub? You know what I'm talking about? And it just keeps dripping. And you think, it's not a big deal. It's something small. You know, I mean, it's no big deal. But, you know, did you know if you plugged up your bathtub and that drip continued, that within 24 hours, it would overflow into your whole bathroom? Did you know that? I don't recommend trying this today. Please don't do that. But if you did, you'd find that overflow can happen even from the smallest consistent action. Did you catch that? So here's today's message in a nutshell. Consistency leads to overflow. You want overflow in your life? It's consistency that leads to overflow. Do not fall for the deception of the dramatic change. But we keep falling for that, don't we? When God says, no, just be consistent. Day in, day out. God told Zerubbabel. Can you say Zerubbabel? That's a big name. Zerubbabel, right? Zerub means out of. Bebel means Babel, Babylon. So this guy's name in Zechariah was out of Babylon, out of captivity, out of addiction, out of depression, out of sin, out of brokenness. That's what his name meant. And God said to him, hey, don't despise this day of a small beginning. You're starting now. Did you know that? And then he began to give a picture of what he could become, and he was going to rebuild the temple. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. Did you know that? So it's like God saying, I can rebuild you. But then the last thing I want to leave you with this, I want you to stand to your feet across all of our campuses. I believe this is a holy moment. When you stand to your feet, we're going to have a holy moment right now. Because it's in this scripture, right before God tells Zerubbabel out of Babylon, out of a mess, is what he tells him. He says, hey, don't despise these small beginnings. But then before that, he said this, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What's the difference between this year and last year? This year, we're going to do it with the spirit. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe your prayer today is to say, God, I open my hands towards you and I say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Please, God, I need to change. God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. And God says, now you're getting it. It's not by might. It's not by trying. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. He says, I am the one that can help you change your marriage, your career, your finances. I can change your teenager, praise God. I can change your circumstances. I can change who you are by my spirit. Make this your prayer. Holy Spirit, have your way today in my life. All across our campuses, make that your prayer. Just lift those hands to God. God, have your way in my life today. By your Spirit, do what only you can do in me. I trust in you. I trust in you. And God will begin to show you who you can become. And when God shows you who you can become, they say, okay, God, now what's the right vehicle? What's the right system? What are the right habits to put in place for me to become that person you told me I am? And now I'm going to take those steps one day at a time. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Make that your commitment today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're not a Christ follower. It begins with a relationship with Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Then he rose again. Now he waits for you to accept him into your life. You can pray this prayer. This is how you become a Christian. You can pray this simple prayer with us right now. We're going to pray it with you. We're going to lead you through this prayer. Pray this with us. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, across all of our churches right now, would you hold your hand high? If you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high? There are hands going up all across our churches. Thank you. We see your hands. Thank you, Rockport, Fulton. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Right here, broadcast, hold those hands high. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. God's moving. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high, Rodfield. Praise God. Right now in our prison ministry, hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. You're online with us right now. You can let us know in the text chat. Just text to us right now. My hand's raised or click hand raised. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for those who just received you. And thank you, God, that today we know we've tried it on our own. We've tried and tried and tried, but Lord, it's not trying anymore. It's training. So Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, we can change. We believe that, God. Thank you for your word today. Begin to speak to us of who we really are and what you called us to do. Thank you for your truth today of how we can see you transform our lives. Thank you for your word. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, isn't God good? His word is so true. Thank you so much. You may be seated. As you're seated, again, I want to thank you for being a part of our services. If you're visiting with us today, this service is our gift to you. It is offering time at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. Again, I just want to say, if you're visiting with us, please do not feel obligated during this part of the service. You can just hang tight with us for a moment as we have an offering time. It's an honor for us to give to the Lord, those who call this church our home, and we believe in what God's doing through this ministry. When you give to Church Unlimited, you're not just giving to Church Unlimited, you're giving through Church Unlimited. I mean, how many of you guys have been watching the fires in Southern California over the last few days? It's horrible, horribly tragic. It's terrible to watch. I know some of you have friends and family that have been involved in that. It's a terrible thing. And if you're like me, you're like, how can I make a difference? Well, I got good news for you. Your church has already made a difference. When you give here, you're already giving. We've already sent $20,000 to multiple places to help already. And we're not done. We want to continue. I did not want to wait. The need was immediate. But when you give today, you're still helping make that happen. And so we're going to continue to send another gift. And so I want to say thank you for giving. And so here's a couple of videos of some people in ministries that we supported there in Southern California. Please check this out.
Pastors Bill and Jessica Cornelius and Church Unlimited. This is Pastor Eddie Vargas from Restoration Life LA. I just want you to know that we're so very grateful for your generosity and your donations. Absolutely everything that comes in goes towards our frontline warriors, the firefighters, the police officers, the first responders, the electricians, and everybody that's putting in work to put out the fires in Southern California. From the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity and your donation. I promise you that absolutely every single penny of it is going to our firefighters. Let's continue to pray for LA and put out this fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, and God bless you, and keep praying for us in Los Angeles, California. We hope to see you soon.
Pastor Bill, Church Unlimited, oh my goodness. I saw your gift that came in to help us here in Los Angeles with the fires, and 15,000 people are coming through today to get water, to get necessities. The infrastructure of the city is destroyed. People don't have, like I don't have, a neighborhood to go back to. It's dark. There's no restaurants open, nothing open. And so it's a disruptive way of life. We just met a family right now. We're able to give $5,000 to help her rebuild her life because she lost her home in Altadena, just 10 minutes north of here on the freeway. And I'm telling you, man, miracles are happening because of you and your church. Church Unlimited, thank you for being a part of your church, because your pastor has friends everywhere who can like respond quickly to things. And to be honest, this is probably the biggest work LA has ever seen in history, done in a national in a travesty like this. So it's just amazing, and you have put so much joy and spark into this effort. And I love you guys so much.
Be able to help, it'll make a difference. And Pastor Matthew's been a friend a long time. The Dream Center is one of the greatest works I've ever been a part of, ever seen, and we support them. And a lot of what we do at the West Side is modeled after the Dream Center. They bought a hospital called Angeles City of Angels Hospital They used to film ER there anyways. That's probably why you'd know it. But anyways, they completely transformed it and helped with human trafficking, people who are displaced, don't have a home. And they're one of the biggest people on the ground. So we're helping them directly. I'll be out there speaking in April. It's a great place. But anyways, I just want to say thank you. If you're like me, you're like, I want to help. How to do it, but I don't know who to go to. We do through these relationships, and Dream Center is doing an incredible work of God. And so thank you for giving. Restoration Life Church is a great church as well. So we're glad to support both of them. So let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. Again, thank you for being the kind of church that we put our money where our mouth is. We don't just say, oh, we're going to change the world. No, we actually are a part of doing that. So thank you for giving today. Thank you for your generosity. God, I pray your blessings over this offering. And thank you, God, that we can make a difference, Lord. Lord, I just look forward to this afternoon sending another gift. Lord, just to be able to help those in need who are hurting. I thank you, God, that we can pool our resources and make a difference. I thank you, God, that this offering doesn't just help there. It helps in Haiti. It helps in Honduras and the work we're doing and we'll continue to do in Mexico. God, thank you for what we're doing in Pakistan, what we're doing locally. God, I praise you, Lord, that our church is not large so we can think we're a big deal. Lord, you've allowed us to grow so we can be a big impact for your kingdom instead. So please bless this offering, Lord. Thank you, God, for the privilege, the honor it is to make a difference right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for giving. Pastor, turn it over to you.
Thank you so much.